I cook steaks on that. Then I use the Blackstone for camping and for my breakfast meals. You know.
Right, right.
And then I got a big old camp chef.
That's okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Start over. I apologize.
I do start the whole thing over. Okay. Good morning. Today is Thursday, January 19. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting. It is 11 o'clock and it's actually 11:02, and I'm going to call this meeting to order. I'd like to introduce a special guest today. We have Leon County Commissioner Rick Miner with us. Commissioner, if you'd like to.
How are y'all doing? My name is Rick Miner. I'm a Leon County Commissioner Commissioner for District 3. Thank you for allowing me to sit in on the meeting. Hope everybody had a good holiday. As you know, Commissioner Kristen Dozier served on this board for many years. And then with her leaving the County Commission, there's a vacancy on the County Commission representative side. So I've met with many of you and spoken about the LCRDA and the future direction. Express an interest in serving with you all. The next step is on January 24th, the Board of County Commissioners will meet, and then we will decide amongst ourselves who will represent the County Commission on this board. I do know there are other people that are interested in serving, so we'll see how it goes. Because of Sunshine Law, I'm not permitted to talk with them before the vote outside of a public meeting, but we'll see how it goes. Whoever serves in that role, I know, is going to be very committed to working with you and serving the mission and doing the best job we can. And even for the other commissioners that are not on the LCRDA board, I know we are all very committed to making you all very successful. So count us in on helping you as you follow through your mission and working toward helping the community. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
And real quick, the county has, y'all have a review meeting or a workshop meeting today or tomorrow?
On the 23rd, we have a board retreat.
Okay.
Where we talk about our strategic initiatives and what we want to do. This is we're going to be starting year two of the 5-year strategic planning cycle.
Okay.
So we'll have that on the 23rd. We may discuss this, but the meeting where we would decide which county commissioner would serve with you will be on January 24th.
Got it. What questions do y'all have for the commissioner?
I would only say that to my knowledge, no other commissioner has reached out to us. Mm-hmm. I applaud you for doing that. I hope at some point that might come to their attention that you've been here and they haven't, but I thank you for your interest.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ramsey. Really appreciate it. Well, whoever does serve with you, I know will be very committed to working with you and making you all successful. So count that. I can rest assured that that will happen. But we'll see what happens on the 24th, but we'll see where it goes from there.
Excellent. So,
thank you all very much.
Appreciate it. So we are going to, in order to bring Tom Allen officially into the meeting, per our bylaws, we need to have a quorum. We do not yet have a quorum. So we're going to is there anything else that we can do?
Do we know if she's in arriving? Or
I conferred with her yesterday, and I can check and see if I can reach her.
So, let's see.
Does Kim Moore have a cell phone number for her?
That's what I'm looking to say.
Yeah.
Does anybody have a modification of the agenda?
Reach it. We both start. Yeah.
Commissioner, what do you think the biggest item will be on your board retreat agenda?
Basically, we break our strategic planning down into four categories, retirement. And so what we do is it's traditional structure, right? So we'll take a look at our mission, our objectives, our goals, and then we have strategic initiatives that are much more tactical to help us achieve those objectives, right? So it's standard. So, we'll be talking about a lot of things, talking about Amazon, talking about septic tank conversion, land use. I'm going to bring up North Monroe, which is a big project, a big priority of mine. But it's a way for us to kind of take a look at the big picture and figure out where we want to go for the next 5 years. So
very good.
Yeah,
a lot to work on.
Yeah.
I just can add an open comment.
Please go ahead.
Require any Dan Foss. Their organization, their industry is having a major conference, global conference in Atlanta in February. They have invited and have received acceptances from about 50 of the delegates that will be at that process, at the end of the process, to come here to Tallahassee and to view what Dan Foss is doing, to go and do tours of the Mag Lab, to do tours of high performance, perhaps the wind tunnel, other different things. Their objective in having all these people here is not only to tell them a little bit about what Dan Foss is doing, but they quite frankly are hoping that they can induce some of those individuals to say, well, we really need a facility in Tallahassee as well. They have set up a process to have a 3-hour tour of the facilities. We would expect that we will be involved in that in some way, shape, or form. I have been tasked to work with Dan Foss to get some of that stuff accomplished, and I'll be back in touch with Michael and perhaps Bill and whoever to see how we play in that role.
And they've reached out to us, and the OED has reached out to us, so we're trying to coordinate with those guys on that already.
Well, I met with Ricardo this morning, and so that process is moving good. I look forward to maybe us finding another tenant for this park for that.
Excellent.
That's a good one. You're fine. We actually just started our conversation. So we now have a quorum here. So I need a motion to allow approval or participation by electronic means.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Yes, I second.
So all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Sorry.
All right. Tom, welcome to the meeting.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So are there any modifications to the agenda?
No.
Is there any public comment?
No.
I trust everybody's had a chance to review the minutes from September 22 and September 27. Are there any edits?
Motion.
I'll second.
So it's been motioned and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, that passes. Item number 7. Staff requests approval of the resolution authorizing the new officers to sign the participant account maintenance form for the Florida Prime account.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I second.
Second.
All right, it's been properly moved to second. All in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, number 8. Staff requests the geographic range of the tech grant applicants be expanded beyond Leon County as currently required by the application. Michael or Bill, do one of y'all want to introduce this?
Bill? Sure, I'd be happy to. We've gotten inquiries from outside of Leon County previously, and we've had to reject some of those applications for tech grants. And as we see the facility as supporting North Florida, we would like to open it up to North Florida, particularly when we consider the footprint of our academic institutions, including TCC's multi-campuses and now FSU's Panama City campus. I think it makes sense to make it geographically specific to Florida. And I think North Florida would be a good parameter given the relationship sort of up and down I-10, whether it's Moffitt on one side or Panama City on the other.
Are you really saying Jacksonville or Pensacola?
I don't know that we would reject. I expect really it will be the contiguous counties primarily, unless there's something in Panama City. They do have a small accelerator over there, and the Jim Rand College had an application from a technology company previously. So that would be my recommendation.
Jessica?
How many applications do you say you get that are outside of the county?
We've only had a handful. One of the reasons that I'm advocating that position is most of the inquiries we've gotten for the new lab have been outside of the market. And in fact, we have a high technology battery company in the lab. Their CEO is in South Florida. They've relocated two engineers into our lab. We have a med tech company. He relocated from Miami. We have a company that we've talked with to drop some equipment in our lobby. They're based in Naples, Florida. So I think our objective is twofold. One, to accelerate the technology coming out of our academic institutions and our community more broadly. And then secondarily, we want to recruit companies to Tallahassee, high technology companies.
Great jobs.
Yeah, to create jobs, exactly.
So with that, a couple questions. Is there a strong nexus between the grant award winners from the past and their building a company here in Tallahassee and how many jobs they've created? How effective has Tech Grant been up until this point?
I would say that it is fairly representative of the 80-20 rule.
Okay.
Meaning that I think, and I just spoke with Michael, a previous Tech Grant winner, Gus Ray. His company is scaling. Unfortunately, he's in Atlanta now. One of the things that will allow a better trajectory is the fact that we'll have the lab and we'll have the renovated Collins space for companies to locate. We also have now programmatic support that we've not had previously with the Build the Scale and the positions that has funded, including a technology entrepreneurship position that we posted day before yesterday.
So if we expand the reach outside of Leon County, is there some level of expectation, is there some assurance that the award of the tech grant turns back to benefit us?
Yes, as a matter of fact, as you know, the current prizes are $25,000. And we are adding to that, or have a recommendation to add to that, by making space in Collins available to the winning companies as well. 6 months of space, so that the dollar value of that commitment to these awardees increases. My hope is that within a year, we're able to add cash through sponsors and other in-kind services so that the number is like $100,000 when we open a year from now. That is the Central Florida Technology Corridor, which is a consortium between UF, UCF, USF. Their competition awards $100,000 in cash and a commitment of facility. So I think you're right on point. We need to make it sticky so it results in economic development for us and a commitment of space this year in Collins, and next year in the new lab allows us to arc towards that big attractive number.
Is it realistic? Is it possible? How much might it diminish the shininess of the penny if we make the space immediately available, but the cash is a function of longevity?
I think that would put us at a competitive disadvantage compared to other competitions. The cash is the incentive for the early stage company, and these are extremely valuable resources. One of the things they have to do in our application is to detail the use of proceeds. And often our tech grant winner, previous tech grant winner, were two young entrepreneurs coming out of the College of Engineering, and they used that money to create a prototype for the piece of equipment that they were developing. So withholding that would not allow them to create the prototype, which was the next step in their development.
Jessica?
So kind of a segue on or piggyback on what was said, if you do the cash flow, let's say we did the cash flow, could it be a percentage along with the space of the commitment availability? Could it be a percentage up front and then another portion of the cash later?
I think, as an alternative. We have a tremendous, wonderful history of success with the debt grants. And this would be very different from what we've done previously, in which we award the first prize $15,000 that night and second prize $10,000 that night. This is a live pitch competition. And there would seem to be a lot of caveats for something like that compared to others in our market, whether it's Domey Station or Jim Rand College. It's they're pretty standard, meaning there's an application, there's a judging rubric, there's a pitch, and then there's a check presentation. So that is that's typically how these things are done.
And correct me if I'm wrong, last year we didn't do it just because the pool of applicants was small.
Correct. Yes, we pushed a couple timing issues. From a historical perspective, we typically have done it in the spring, and during COVID, they shifted it online and made a decision after, and this sort of predates my arrival, to shift it to the fall. So we made a decision to push it back to the spring. We have a date at Goodwood. We have the timing that will roll out next week. For the application process, the orientation, the judging process, the matching with the PR firms that work with the finalist, and then the pitch night itself, in which there's some community involvement. And that date is on May 11th at Goodwood.
If I would suggest that we'd be a little bit flexible on offering them space. I'd hate to put somebody over at Collins and then we have somebody who would want to lease the entire facility over there, and this gets in the way of that. So some flexibility that not necessarily we put them in Collins, but we find space for them.
That I'm sure that we can make that work. The intent is to chunk Collins so that we can have individual offices for entrepreneurs as well, for the purpose of applying for the myriad of tech grant, SBIR and STTR grants. So I think that we can make that work. Okay.
So my chief concern is making sure that whatever we do creates a value that exceeds what our payout is, a value back to the park. And that is in keeping with the conversations that we've started over the last few months,
sure,
several months. And for some reasons that as we've looked into some of the operational issues, I've had a lot of conversations with Michael as he's immersed himself in the operations of the park and what some of these dynamics are. Some of these things we're going to probably talk about in a minute. I'm just myopically concerned about making sure that we're not overextending ourselves. I love the idea of tech grant. I love the idea of promoting these types of opportunities. I want to make sure that they are value add to Innovation Park. So that's the concern. What other thoughts we have, or is there a motion?
I fully support your concerns there.
What, if I may, what specific concerns do you have?
The
payback?
Yeah, what's the payback? Like I said, if we knew that we were going to, if somebody from Panama City won the grant, and that's a $15,000 payout at that point, what is how do we know that that yields $15,000 of value or more back into Innovation Park? And in the season where we are cash constrained, substantially cash constrained, we need to be paying attention to operationally, how do we cause the water to rise so that our ship floats? And in a different season, if we were well-heeled and flush with cash, and this was, we were okay with the winter not being local and not bringing local jobs and not building a company here in the park, that's an answer. I just don't know that we're there right now.
Yeah, I got a broader view in that we have to do everything that we can to create a massive pipeline. And part of that is generating PR and buzz, whether it's directly through our organization or the stories that we tell about the companies that we've touched. And again, in the space that we're in, coaching entrepreneurs, we're dealing with our best guess at the trajectory of success. And, you know, the venture firms are wrong 7 out of 10 times. As I've heard it said, we're in a scratch and dent business. We take entrepreneurs where they are and provide a resource to them. Not everybody is going to be successful. So that's my point of view. I don't disagree with you. We need all the ROI that we can generate. And the renovation in Collins is to be a pipeline to the lab and a pipeline out of the lab that we're launching about a year before the lab opens.
Sure. Jessica?
I was going to say, is there, yes, we know monetary is a big need. Is there another form of ROI that winners could bring to the table for the lab, like maybe some type of commitment if they want to promote or to be part of the success stories or part of some of the operations that need to be done where they commit some hours or commit something directly to the cause outside of just receiving the grant? Could that be placed?
I think that we request permission to publicize all of that, and our tech grant winners will certainly lean into their own promotional efforts. My philosophical point of view is that our role is to eliminate obstacles and requirements for our entrepreneurs. So I would not recommend that we require additional work. The application itself is pretty chunky. So getting through that is that my recommendation is that we would not require work.
It seems to me, if I may, that we're kind of having two conversations, right? Is it one of them is, do we try something to expand the pool of potential participants in this thing that we believe promotes the park and ultimately has long-term implications for it with pretty weak current metrics and historical metrics of if that is in fact successful, right? But the other thing we're kind of having a conversation is, does this thing make sense at all to do tech grants, right? I mean, it seems like we're having both of those conversations right now. And I'm not saying, and really we probably ought to have the first one. If it doesn't make sense, then we shouldn't spend any time on how we expand the pool.
Well, and does it make sense conversation? That's not an exec committee conversation. Right. That's a full board conversation.
Sure.
Let me park for a second. Tom, I can't see if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. So if you do, please feel free to jump in.
I'm the broken record, but I'm always worried about our finances. And giving money away that you don't have is sometimes alarming to me. But I do see the benefit of the tech grant program.
It's in large part, the best I could characterize it in some ways, it is a marketing expense. It is not going to be a financial payback to us in terms of any metric that I, you know, again, my experience is limited, very short window here. But this one, to me, if I were running a business, this is a donation. It is a marketing branding exercise.
That's true.
And I can't tell anybody if that's worth it. It's $25,000, which in our circumstances is a real number.
Dave?
As your treasurer, I would just have to put us on notice by saying we may have to pause this program down the road if our finances don't show some significant increase in revenue. That's just a heads up. I'm not suggesting that we pause it now or this year or even next year, but I'm just saying that may be a realistic situation that we have to address down the road.
Got it. Okay, well, I'm asked the question again. Is there a motion? And if not, we'll move on to item number 9. There is no motion. Moving on to number 9.
Well, I'll go back and make the motion. I'll make the motion that we expand the territory.
All right, so the motion is made that we expand the geographic footprint for applications for the tech grant program. And what would that geographic boundary be?
I think we were keeping it somewhat squishy at North Florida. I think the expectation is that it would be, closer counties to us. But I don't know if you want to put some teeth in that and say it has to be a contiguous county, I think that's not an unreasonable request either.
I would say contiguous counties plus Bay.
Okay. Right. Panama City, Kansas. Yeah.
So the motion is contiguous counties plus Bay County. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, so it's been properly moved and seconded. Is there a discussion?
I'd like to add a comment. We just, with FAMU, submitted an NSF Engines grant that covers the 30 counties in North Florida. And so there are partnerships that exist by virtue of our hard work, active work on this application. I don't know that we'll get it, but the engine is $160 million over 10 years. It includes workforce, a lot of connective tissue. That's just a data point. I think there's no wrong answer. Contiguous counties plus Bay makes sense. There's stuff going on through Appalachian Regional Planning Council, discussion reactivating Port St. Joe and the intermodal transportation. And we're sort of the center of this ecosystem anyway. Leon County is the bullseye and the target of North Florida.
Okay.
If there's a need to reconsider that, you could always propose that at future times.
Is that something that this group and our board want to be involved in? If the board supports the tech grant program and it's $25,000, do we want our board to be picking counties and not counties, or is that really a staff level decision if the program is to be supported?
I think that that's a staff level decision. Right. There's a level of detail that the board needs to be in the policy. The staff needs to put the meat on the bone.
Sure.
I withdraw my motion for reconsideration of another discussion.
Okay, so motion's withdrawn. Is there a motion?
My motion is that it be open for staff to evaluate and to determine what's appropriate.
Okay, so the motion then is to put the burden back to staff to come up with a solution for the geographic area of the footprint for the tech grant program. There's a separate conversation that is not part of this motion, which is, does the tech grant program make sense? Have we distinguished those two topics? Okay, so the motion has been made. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
It's been properly seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, aye.
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 It's unanimous that is approved. Item number 9. I've asked for this language to be put on the agenda today. Specifically, this language suggests, it says the chair and vice chair shall serve no more than 2 consecutive terms in office unless additional consecutive terms are approved by the affirmative vote of a majority of the board present at a meeting at which a quorum is present and any duly called regular or special meeting of that board. In the last few months, we've had significant conversations about where we are in our life cycle and some of the things that we need to be doing moving forward. I am not suggesting that we will need to modify the provision that allows for two terms or more. But also understand that some of these things I've requested. And so as we move forward with these conversations about examining the structure of the authority, looking at the operations of the park and what we need to do to be sustainable, I would like for the board to ultimately consider whether or not in this next cycle we're able to expand that to the third term, so that again, if it's appropriate and if the board so desires, I may be asked to serve a third term. With that, any conversation about that?
Does the existing language prevent you serving a third term?
It does not prevent, but it does require that there would be an active vote of the members present at a duly called meeting. And so, again, I don't want to wait until right before the election to elevate this conversation. I would rather the board think about that now, such that as we move through the next few or several months, and Tom Allen specifically as vice chair and arguably chair-elect, well, I want to make sure that you are comfortable with this and that we are simply paying attention to what may need to occur in and around the fall of this year.
I'll move it. I like it.
So I think what needs to happen on that is that this would require a vote at the regularly scheduled meeting, which could occur at this next meeting, that would allow in this next coming election cycle for me to potentially serve a third term.
It's not the election, it's just the allowing for that service.
It's the allowing of. All right, so that has been, I think that was your motion, correct, Tom?
Correct.
I'll second.
It's been properly moved and seconded. Is there discussion? There's no discussion. Is all in favor, aye?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, that is unanimous. Therefore, it can go, I guess, under consent. Okay.
For the record, there has been a chairman of recent years, and Christian Dozier served three consecutive terms.
Okay. Very good. All right, so let's see. I want to take a point of privilege before we move on to item 10, and it relates to what we've just started talking about in item number 9. We've asked Michael Kramer to step into this role as interim executive director. We have sent a letter to the presidents of the universities and to County Administrator Vince Long, asking that we start to consider the structure of LCRDA. In the last, so Michael has been in place now for a month and a half, 2 months.
I would say two is my third week, but yes, I was engaged a day a week prior to that.
Okay, so in the conversations that Michael and I've had, I believe he's done a phenomenal job in a very short period of time in distilling down some of the complexity, and as I've described it with him, separating the mission from the noise. There's a tremendous amount of noise, and we need to keep our eyes focused on the mission. Michael, can you give us two or three high-level observations about where we're at? And I want to preface this with some of the information is a bit startling. When we look at our park, inside Innovation Park, between FAMU, FSU, LCRDA, Dan Foss, there is an excess of 1 million square feet. I don't have the total number. I know it's in excess of 1 million. we, LCRDA, control a little over 80,000 square feet.
Right.
So with that, Michael, what are your observations?
Just, at the highest level, when I look at this conversation around the park, I look at it two engines, if you will. The first one is the actual assets we have, which, and as Kevin alluded to, that's 86,000 feet or 82,000 feet on 30 acres. The balance of the park is either controlled by Florida State or FAMU, and then a big chunk of the park, frankly, has been leased away for effectively a dollar forever. For all practical purposes, it's a dollar a year forever for, you know, a good chunk of the park. So the assets we have to work with as an engine to fund our operations are solely limited to 30-plus-year-old buildings that were not really designed as what you would call today a technology park, and they do not generate enough rental income to support the operations of the park. And when I say operations of the park, I would argue today, notwithstanding our brochures and how we present ourselves, and certainly not our mission, there's a lot of compliance and governmental regulations and record keeping is kind of, and then property management, which we outsource by and large. And there's really, even if you look at fully leasing up this park with the asset that we have, at best case, you're probably talking a break-even scenario, just given the assets and the price points we have. And the challenge we have is that the buildings are in a constant state of needing repair, as evidenced by we're spending $300,000 fixing two elevators. We're probably in the near term faced with a $100,000 air conditioning repair for a single tenant space. And most of these larger tenants, of course, have 60-day outs on their lease. I'm not in the commercial real estate business, but I know that most folks who are would really take a harder look at how would they spend that kind of money on somebody who's got a 60-day out in their lease. Again, not answering those questions, but those are concerning questions just in terms of that. So that's one asset that we have to generate revenue. The new asset we're building, the lab, is at its performing as we would hope, is still going to need, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, and Bill's mentioned this, I know, in prior meetings, $500,000 to $700,000 a year of sponsorships or grants or awards of some sort, well beyond the projected revenues from memberships and events, frankly, to break even and maybe begin to service the debt that it will have taken on to build that. So I don't know, you know, when I look at those couple of engines to run this place long term, neither one of them funds the other, frankly. And so I think that is a very concerning set of circumstances. And frankly, I also believe that the timing for the construction of the new building is really best case scenario. We have been remarkably fortunate for the last several months that this thing construction, they are, I would argue, ahead of plan for the time being. We have a little bit of margin in this thing and a contingency that I think we're all hoping will be available for FF&E when we need it, which we do not have any funding for today. We could build this beautiful, spectacular building on budget, perhaps, and still not have any money to have chairs, desks, tables, flat screens, access control, all those things that will be required for it to get to the projections.
And operations.
And operations, that's right. So those are some challenges that we do not have answers to at present. And so I don't know if that's the answer you were expecting.
Well, and I appreciate that. It is what I was expecting, and it really, the last several months as I did my own assessment of certain things, and as we've been, you know, over the last year, Dave, you've been a champion of bringing the financials forward in a more visible format. Our financials are complex. Making sure that the board is focused on board-level issues and that we are empowering staff to do staff level issues, that's a critical area for us to focus on. One of the things that I think we need to pay attention to in a subsequent board meeting, if it's, and maybe you can give us a little bit of insight on this, there are probably some things that we're doing right now at the board level that really are not most appropriate for the board. They're probably most appropriate for staff who is in the daily details. I think we need to take a look at that. But then putting on my development hat, my real estate development hat, when I look at a 208-acre research park with aging infrastructure, everything is aging. The buildings are aging, the roads are aging, all of our, the utility infrastructure, everything is aging here. And if, as a park, if we control 82,000 square feet of the million plus square feet, and that is our primary opportunity for revenue, we are not creating a sinking fund substantial enough or sufficient enough to reinvest in our the capital items in our research park that ultimately create the vibrant research park that we need and desire Innovation Park to be. That is why when I mentioned previously that the authority model is a bit clunky and it causes us as a board to move at the speed of public meetings, and we effectively have over years taken on a role as oversight to a property management. Okay, we're focused potentially on the wrong thing, and in order to really move the needle, I think we need to look at other solutions. And I've mentioned in this room in the past, in 2013, the state of Florida, which by the way, I think it was 1980 when they created the authority language. In 2013, they created the P3 language. The value of a P3, I'm not suggesting this is the end all be all. It is an idea for us to pursue. If we were to bring in a P3 partner, that's public-private partnership, a development company who it is in their wheelhouse, in their lane to develop, own, operate, redevelop, breathe vitality and a fresh capital and so forth into a research park. And we charge them with that scope inside of a competitive procurement and put that in their contract. Now we have the board is able to move out of the operational details. We can stay at a policy level. We can contract with the private sector who knows how to partner with public sector, and they can bring the capital and the vision and the fresh perspective into helping LCRDA accomplish its mission. The mission per our charter is twofold. It's research and economic development. We're doing just fine on the research side. We have one shining example, an excellent example of economic development in Dan Foss Turbo Corp, but we need 100 of those. And so we need to figure out how to do that. And if what we're dealing with is aged out infrastructure, Michael mentioned 30 plus years old, we ought to have from a real estate developer's perspective say, okay, how do we breathe the fresh breath? And we need to get there. Okay, so step inside. Thoughts?
I don't know if you're asking. My opinion is you're absolutely right. I mean, the lab is what we're supposed to be. The lab will spin out some huge companies at some point, just as other comparable facilities. You know, and Michael and I have had very informal conversations. We should take our buildings, demo them, and collaborate with somebody to create the structure that you, and as we look around other places, that's whether it's Georgia Tech or Tid Martin or Alachua and Gainesville or many other places. That's what we need to be doing. That's the state of the present.
The assets we have, notwithstanding the new lab, we have either given away or have old properties that dramatically limit their value to this enterprise. Whatever the structure ultimately is, that fact still exists, right? That structure isn't necessarily the reason for that problem, but it is our problem that we have today that somebody else needs to figure out the solution to that, because we're not on a path to fix it. I think David at a prior board meeting painted a picture I will say it in a different way, that we will be out of money by the end of 2024. I mean, out. Mm-hmm. Okay. The buildings will still need repair. The lab will still need $500,000 a year. And that's what we know about. That's what we can predict, right? So is that doesn't include any of the bad news that's coming, right? That's the good news.
Yeah. So these are
surprises.
These are precisely the reasons that we've started these conversations. And to pretend like 24, 48, 60 months out is not going to happen, to pretend that it's not going to happen that's a bad strategy. We've talked in this room of we have real challenges in the next 24 months, and if we don't solve it in 24 months, we have substantial challenges within 60. We have to fix this. That's where the board mindset needs to be. That was a point of privilege on top of the chair discussion, and it all ties together. There's not an action item there. Any other thoughts or comments before we move on?
I have one additional comment, and again, Michael and I have discussed this. One potential path for the board to consider is the interest in FAMU of making that property available and marketed through OED as a, let's call it a undetermined asset, which could benefit not only the community and the economy. So that is a potential consideration for the board to take a look at. And they are interested. Keith now has a different role at OED. So in whatever the timing to spin up that conversation again, likely relates to the shared vision that the board will have for the park.
So, and that's a great point. There is all of the land out here at Innovation Park is part of State of Florida Trustees Internal Improvement Trust Fund. Mm-hmm. Our lease extends through, I think it's 2074. So while we talk about making property available to be marketed, we also need to wrestle, and this is a conversation, incidentally, take my LCRDA hat off, put my FSU hat on. I am having active conversations with general counsel at FSU specifically about this issue, because we're bumping up into a point in history where that lease and the remaining term on that lease is going to be an issue. And so it needs to be resolved. And I will make sure that as we step forward, we're keeping in lockstep between the universities and LCRDA.
And the term of that lease is an asset. And so the shorter that term gets, the less that asset's worth to us, the universe, whoever it is. That the park is no different.
Yep.
And we already had one company take a pass because that lease was an issue in their minds.
Correct. So it's a real issue. Okay, if there's no other conversation on item number 9, moving on to number 10.
But the only comment I'd add is there is real urgency to this. We talk about it, we've recognized it, now we have to put a game plan together.
So to that point, and again, putting wearing two hats on this next part, I have a conversation scheduled with Dr. Stacy Patterson on Monday, 23rd, have a second conversation for Dr. Patterson and I to meet with President McCullough on the 31st. And the meeting on the 31st is a response to the letter that I sent to individually to President McCullough, President Robinson, President Murdaugh, and to Vince Long. Okay. So yes, urgency. Item number 10, Michael.
I just wanted the board approval, and again, I got done with my homework on this, but apparently for us to apply for any kind of grants, they require board approval. And I would request that staff is allowed to apply for grants to perform the mission and the building bill and whatever kind of staffing grants we can get without running back and forth through the board. I could add a laundry list of another 10 things to that, but that was one I wanted to at least start with.
Okay, so that ties back to a comment I made a couple minutes ago about what the board needs to do and what staff needs to do. I fully support staff being able to do this. I don't understand why the board needs to approve
it. I have done my homework on it. It may just be past practice that everybody's locked in on. I have not done the homework. It's on all of our leases, says the board has to approve them. You guys pick a threshold, right? I would say that's what we're hired to do, is to lease up the property. Shouldn't have
to. Move it.
What's that?
I'll move it.
Okay, so just to make sure that we understand the clarity of your motion, I think, Tom, if I can add some words and expand on what I think you're saying, we need to, at the next board meeting, have a laundry list of the items that staff needs to be responsible for that the board doesn't necessarily need to opine on.
Correct.
Okay, is that correct,
Tom? Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on that?
I would just like to add, just thinking, not being around for the whole time, maybe they put the approval in just for awareness. So when you go through the laundry list and remove approval, just maybe replace with awareness.
So, and I think there could be ratification. If, you know, post, I think you got to report in, but some of it is just do the job,
right?
And the board sets the policy, and if the behavior or the practice is inside that policy, then that was the board's job, was to set that policy. And if we follow that and execute on that, is there anything other than to report the financial results, right, or the market implications, the branding, the results really of those actions?
And quite honestly, at the board level, we need to be able to hold staff responsible for their productive actions. The moment that we take on the responsibility of approving certain things,
taking us off the hook,
we've taken them staff off the hook, and that is that's a dereliction of our responsibilities. So I think we need to draw a bright line between who's supposed to do what.
I agree.
So
I don't want to be able to say yes. Frankly, guys, I want to be able to say yes to someone. I don't want our organization to be the slowdown in doing what makes sense for the organization. I've got FSU was out here last week. They want to lease 2,000 feet. It's a $50,000 18-month lease. They're going to have their process. They're going to have to work through it. So I just want to be able to say yes. When they say they can go, I don't want there to be another process on our end to move forward with what makes sense for this organization.
I like where we're going with this. My only suggestion is that staff be accountable to reporting what they have approved so that we are fully aware of what's happening. 60 days between board meetings ties your hands.
Yep.
And if we have the right staff in place, all we need to do is be aware of what they're doing.
And there may even need to be a threshold on that. If I would add to that, is because keep in mind, some of the leases we sign in the lab space are $200 a month, $300 a month, $50 a month. These are rounding errors in terms of when I talk about a board's time and attention.
Okay.
But I can't make that decision for someone else.
Well, let's have that conversation at the upcoming board meeting, and we'll make sure that the board is in agreement with each of the approvals that we're...
So is this motion just to recommend to the board, or is this motion to approve?
My understanding is that this is fairly narrow to the grant application process, and I think the broader discussion. Yeah, we could come back with these other items, yep, like co-working memberships or the twos and twos that,
yep,
the executive director, in my opinion, should have authority in agreement.
So, Tom, can we expand your motion to include a specific approval for,
yes,
the grant application?
Yes.
And then the rest of it comes back to the board for a more healthy conversation.
We'll add some different elements.
That's perfect. Perfect.
Okay, so that's the motion. It's seconded. It's been properly moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, aye.
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 That's unanimous. Okay. Item number 11. Michael.
Basically the same thing. Apparently we've waived drug testing. It was supposed to be on a prior meeting or two, and it wasn't. Waived drug testing for hiring people. And again, just wanted to leave that to staff to make those decisions, get the board out of it.
Good. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you.
And you'll notice as I wrote those here, I said for the balance of the fiscal year, we could certainly go beyond that, but I thought at least you guys wanted to tie our hands a little bit, that would do it. Just mean we got to talk about it again.
All right. So the motion is for staff recommendation. It's been properly moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Tom, I didn't hear you. Was that?
Aye. Yes.
Okay. It's unanimous. Okay. Number 12, staff updates.
I was going to let Bill talk a few minutes about the lab and where we are.
Okay. I'll start with building. It's a big project, so I printed out the latest update on big paper. Actually, that was an error, and I didn't want to reprint it. So, as Michael said, the building is coming along really well. We've been benefited from the weather. They will be dried in within a week. The roof is pretty much completed. I was on site yesterday. So that's the quick summary. I've been extremely impressed with the job that Culpepper is doing. The team is great in terms of communication. They can show up, put a hard hat on anytime, walk through there. And we would encourage the board to do that as well. Schedule the process is really thoughtful. They have a wall built outside of the trailer in which they're pre-testing all the materials and the caulking that'll go on the building before it goes on the building. There are some nice value adds that they have, a live webcam. They're flying it with a drone so that we can use those resources to market. So the building is going extremely well. I would guess, as Michael did, that we're a little ahead of schedule, which is good because you can't predict the future. We do need furniture, fixtures, and equipment. We do need money for operation. So rather than 24 months, I would say we're 6 to 9 months from needing revenue that we don't currently have to operate the building.
There's a lead time on furniture, obviously.
Anyway. Yes, yeah. We're doing everything that we can. On the grant side, we're signing up for state surplus. We have a meeting. So lots of grants, and this new motion empowers us. And we have a government relations meeting on Friday. So we're looking not only at the federal opportunities, but we'll look, we're hoping to have a bill on the House and the Senate side for something that works for the members to sponsor, whether it's tied to workforce, whether it's tied to whatever fits within their particular interest and committee. So looking for one on the House side and the Senate side. So obviously keep the board informed on that. And we're also looking at the private side. So we've begun the process to create a lease between LCRDA and the nonprofit that will operate the facility and programs, and will next create the documents needed for naming rights, sponsorships, and the other things that allow us to solicit funds. There's a mechanical issue that we'll chat about related to the board and the registration with the Department of Agriculture. To be in compliance with the ability to raise funds. The construction is going well. What is also significant is the fact that we got this EDA Build to Scale grant. So that funds 4 positions and takes a bite out of operations and funds it in a way that we didn't have previously.
And if I might interrupt, remember these positions that we're talking about getting funding for to build to scale are arguably the positions that we need to deliver
some of the elements of the mission. That's right. And Bill works on it really a lot. The rest of us, frankly, are working on compliance, getting the building built, meeting all the requirements, not delivering entrepreneurship training, not delivering commercialization. We're not doing those things. And so this Build a Scale grant actually funds that to do the work, to do what we're supposed to be doing.
That's right. That's well said. And far more concise than I would say. Okay. So buildings are going extremely well, and I'm happy to answer any questions about that. The next thing I wanted to address, which is related to some of the other discussion. In a previous board meeting, the LCRDA board agreed to expand the Innovation Park, TLH, DBA, North Florida Innovation Labs board to 7 members. And so we would request, and the bylaws state that LCRDA has a majority of appointments. So LCRDA will have 4 appointments to the Innovation Park TLH nonprofit. So we would request that the board appoint 1 member of the Board of Governors and then recommend 3 additional members to represent LCRDA on the Innovation Park TLH board, and that board selects the additional 3 members to constitute the 7 member board of directors for Innovation Park TLH. And we would request that is done as soon as practically possible. Michael and I have discussed a short list of folks that we think would be excellent, not only fiscal responsible folks, but could add real subject matter expertise to that board.
Potentially sponsorship.
And sponsorships.
Are there sunshine issues when a member of the board of IPTLH has a conversation with the board member of LCRDA? Are those separate boards and therefore they can fully have discussion so long as they're not both on either board? Does that make sense? They're not both on the same board?
I think one of the issues we have with sunshine, and again, I'll the definitive answer is I don't know.
Perfect.
I think one of the issues that we have is that the fact that the board members on the nonprofit are identical to the board members on the Board of Governors.
Well, and it's not lost on me that what you're saying is that there would be one of the LCRDA board members that would port over and be the initial board member of IPTLH, and then that person would work with the current LCRDA board to identify other non-LCRDA board members to sit on the IPTLH, and then that group of 4 then
controls
and works with LCRDA to identify 3 more that are okay. So the question then is the people that we, whether it's that, yeah, it's once one of our board members is established as the point
rep,
and we are reaching out to find 3 more that represent the LCRDA board, we simply need to make sure that there's no overlap in board members and that board members between LCRDA and IPTLH have the ability to talk to each other.
Right. I think that's a great suggestion, and we contemplate it as a way again to create energy bidirectionally for both organizations, and hypothetically better engage somebody like Dr. Stacy Patterson or somebody else that would have complicated issues otherwise.
Do we know if that board is under sunshine?
I think, yeah, currently it is, because
can it be removed from sunshine?
Again, that is a legal distinction. I think Michael and I share an opinion that at that point it would not be subject to Sunshine. And as said, the definitive answer is I don't know. So
we think that's part of the reason we need to have this lease. They need to have their own formal connection, like the relationship to LTRDA. If we've got a member on that board and then staff, this organization, or potentially IPTLH, right, puts a slate of potential directors in front of that RDA has control of appointing for, much like the county, if you will, on our board, right? They make appointment. Then that entity, because there's only one LCRDA member on it, and they have a lease with us, like a not-for-profit, I mean, that they would be exempt. We do not have definitive answer. And we may not get, right, a perfect answer on some of those things.
That's a legal question, dude.
Right, that's a legal question.
Are you working with Melissa?
I am.
Michael is.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And the reason for some of that, frankly, is that what may come before the board over there, frankly, new technologies, new tenants coming in, Department of Defense type work. There are some protections you can write in for trade secrets and proprietary information, but could that have potential chilling effect on people using the kind of space that we're trying to create? Because they don't want somebody to request, what kind of equipment are they using? What kind of tests are they running? What are the obligations? Mm-hmm. We just, that is a potential risk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that's true.
So we can either have a more full conversation about this at the beginning of February or sometime in April. But I understand from the time frame, 6 to 9 months, we need to do this post haste.
Yep.
So as much as you can glean between now and February meeting, I think it's helpful.
I agree. I'll work on it.
We'll do.
Okay. Any anything else?
Yes. Not on that subject.
Okay.
So I'll.
Well, before you leave that subject, yes, if that's where, I don't know where you're going next, I'd like to ask that we have a presentation of what the plan is for naming rights at our next executive committee, March the 23rd. What that looks like, what rooms, what whatever, what numbers. I'd like to get that moving. And so I'd like to have a presentation on that at our executive committee, March 23rd.
Okay. Yeah, the first step is getting a lease with the permission to do those things.
With
the
allows
That's in process.
Okay.
And Michael and Melissa are working on that.
Okay.
Then the next step will be having legally approved language for naming rights and sponsorships that is approved. And we're already working on pricing models. Some of that is based upon what's in the marketplace.
We just want to rate card.
Yeah.
I just want to get a timeline. I just want to make sure we've got it in motion. So we'd like to see the plan on
and the point third. It would be inappropriate if you guys were going to engage our board in funneling those resources to us for those names for potential. That should be a much broader folks, you know, people casting a net of potential sponsors for this building. And I think that's a reasonable thing to engage the board in from a task level, is to identify candidates for sponsorships and naming rights and things that staff should follow up on.
One board member can go with one or two staff, but we can't have two board members going
correct
with staff.
Correct.
Right. And that's also sort of the mechanical reason for the Innovation Park TLH structure is a little different. Okay, so we had that conversation. We are also recommending that we don't have the board meeting for Innovation Park TLH on the same date as the Board of Governors meetings, that we do those on alternate months so that the time and attention can be spent on Innovation Park TLH. That's just a structural recommendation.
And if the composition is overwhelmingly different, then that's really not going to be an issue.
Right,
exactly. As mentioned, we received bill to scale. We'll begin drawing down those funds, and it will fund our fully fund for 75% of the year. Our new technology commercialization person will have full funding in the second half of our fiscal, the grant year for our lab program manager. So that process, we also have money for computers. We still need FF&E for those things. As mentioned, we're applying for several other grants submitted to NSF through FAMU yesterday. We've got a few dates coming up. We are rebranding the Collins renovation as the Idea Lab at Collins. We're doing a ribbon cutting with the chamber, trying to create some PR and buzz and get folks in there. That, and we'll send this out. It'll be publicly noticed because you all will be embedded. That'll be on the 23rd of February. So we'll have a ribbon cutting by the chamber, and then we'll have sort of an open house event. And we're also collaborating with relevant technology groups, the startup groups around technology, the nerds in Tallahassee is a group that we'll invite for that same, we talked about tech topics getting already. We'll have, again, lots of involvement in the community. We have the Choose Tallahassee Board of Directors meeting here tomorrow. That's a strong board. We'll get a little update on that. And I think one other thing I want to talk about is we have a lot of marketing activity coming out in the coming weeks. We are interviewing for the open marketing position now. And separately and concurrently, we're working with a phenomenal marketing expert and a former marketing person to sort of create the structure for this new person so he or she can roll right into that responsibility. Julia Holly, we collaborated. She's a contractor to work for Domi Station. And so she's somebody with a lot of institutional knowledge. And so she's been plug and play and a fantastic resource for us in the interval. So we have new branding coming out for the new lab. We've got branding coming out for the Collins renovation. Website is coming out in a week. We'll have collateral materials for both soliciting memberships and sponsorships and donations. So a lot of activity that you'll see, and we'll do a little more show and tell at the board meeting. And I think that's about it. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you.
All right,
what do you want to share?
So on the finance and administration side, we are trying to, I am trying to understand operation and streamline processes. Those are things that I was working on. On the side of finance, we have checking the budget, and we are in a good shape for the first quarter. When I compare the budget and the actual, it looks like they consider the acceptable range. So I don't see any red flag. We have received that $3.3 million for the first construction revenue from EBO, which is a good thing. We are in the process of submitting the to draw funds for the EDA grant, build to scale EDA grant. So just information. So we are in the process of the audit, and we don't see any flags. It seems like everything is going smoothly. On the HR side, we are posted and interviewed for marketing. We have posted two positions. One is for the tech entrepreneur. The other one is for the marketing. The marketing, we have interviewed potential candidates. We will hire when we get the right person. I think that's what it is for this information. We are working closely with my team, so if you have any questions.
Honey, we're privileged to have you, and I appreciate your all the work you've done to get immersed in this. I've heard nothing but excellent comments, so thank you.
Yes. Dave. Last year, I reported financials sort of on a global position. We had an awful lot of noise in there with all the grant stuff coming and going, and I don't think it really gave a picture of what the organization standing alone outside of all that noise looks like. I've asked Annie and staff to prepare for me to give a presentation this year based on how LCRD is working outside of all that noise in the finances. So that'll be a little bit different in my presentation to the board next week.
Wonderful. That's I think that'll be insightful and helpful.
And my push, or what I will advocate on that, is we'll take it up at the highest level we can, and if the board demands more detail, we'll address that rather than just throw shotgun every detail element at everything.
My desire in that is that when the board leaves a meeting, every board member is able to clearly articulate at that macro level who we are, where we are, and what our go forward looks like.
In that vein, I've watched the last couple of board meetings and executive committee meetings, and so some of the conversation that I asked Bill and Ani to share today are at the level of what's the status of the building? This is my interpretation, right? Is that getting the building built and getting the place leased were the most important things in the near term. Now, again, neither one of those, I would argue, in the immediate term have anything to do really with accomplishing our global mission and charter of this organization in that in the next 12-month window. They set maybe a stage for that, but they don't. And so their reports are going to generally be addressing those two things as I've interpreted from the board. If I've misinterpreted that, then I would ask you guys to kind of let me know that. I think it's important when Ani mentioned we got the $3.3 million from the EDA. That was requested in early October. Okay, we got that money last week. We have zero visibility on that. I am in constant communication with the folks at the EDA, very helpful. We had a name change, which, as you guys can imagine, in a bureaucratic world, is massive implications. Somebody left off a suite number. Okay. Also, you know, everything has been, my presumption is that the second one will be easier and faster since we've gotten our first. But I don't know that. And so the implication of that, as you may be aware, we also only have three requests left, I would argue, to pull funds from that grant to get this building kind of close to done. We get five total. One has to be after completion. So we've got three. So we're going to float millions of dollars, which really is going to test our liquidity and access to liquidity over the next 12 months, frankly. We're doing a dry run this week with the FSU Research Foundation. I'm just going to pull $25,000 down. That is in the works. We should have it hit our account next week. And then we're going to pay it back right away. But I wanted to iron out all the mechanics of the process before we had to do it in some kind of urgent manner.
It may be worth, I don't remember the specific details, but there were some trigger mechanisms for how and when interest started to accrue based on when the loan was initiated. Yep. So if we need to carve out the test run, even because it's going to be a drawdown and a payback, yep. If we need to go back
they have been very receptive to the exercise, okay, that we're trying to do, because they're not doing another one of these right now.
Okay.
We're the only one. And so there's not a form. So we're both trying, Jenny and I are both trying to say, we want to make sure how this thing works. And
I do think that what Kevin, the chair, said was important, because contractually, I think we have a year once we draw funds. So we want to make sure that the clock doesn't start ticking. I think that's.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. And we'll have to address it one way or the other. I would argue, even if it does,
yeah,
it may be worth it, so we can keep the building moving.
Got it.
To further emphasize what Michael was saying, our strategic plan says 1A and 1B. 1A is that we get the operation open, staffed, and running. 1B says we are financially capable of doing that on an ongoing basis. Both of them we got to always keep in sight. The financial is just as important as getting the building running. We can't get the building running and then close it down because we run out of money.
So on the financial side, so because we are on accrual basis, that's why we are seeing this huge revenues coming in, while we don't actually have a cash flow. So that's why I was trying to show how cash basis and accrual basis where we are. So the cash basis is how much money are we really getting in as a revenue, and how much are we paying today? So where is our, because we don't want to use too much of our reserves. So that will show you where we are in reality, like not with the accounting, the system, like the reporting.
We're going to try and make sure the board understands more on the lines of cash flow than GASB. Yep. Because GASB, every time we spend money for the building, we have to show that as revenue. And again, that's the representation that's required under that. It's nothing incorrect about it, but it is not helpful for decision making. But I mean, it's not wrong, it's just not helpful.
Okay, good.
The only other thing I was going to mention that I had from a staff report perspective, and I think Bill touched on it, we're starting some lobbying efforts with the help of a board member to try and move some of these things. When we get the next two board members identified, or I guess three, do we need two or three still?
Currently, Stacey Patterson is the FSU alternate.
That's unwinding, my understanding.
Possibly. Okay. And we'll follow back on
that. And if any of that, what I was going to ask for, and maybe it's at the full board, it's historically the executive director did one-on-one training orientation with the board members to comply with Sunshine. It's my understanding, Peggy's done some homework, that if we notice up a meeting for the purpose of board orientation, open to the public, and we can do it. All three board members or any other board member that would like to come. I'd like to include a tour. I don't know how many of our board members have walked through the buildings. I was in one of our buildings the other day that has the original carpet in it. So when we talk about get them leased, get it done, if you took a tour and you're a high-tech company, I'm not sure you would be like, I got to be here, okay? So it doesn't mean they're not leasable, but when we talk about market rate, Collins is as good as it gets in terms of any of our space, and it's our show pony. The other spaces do not look as good as
it. Even with big elevators.
And the elevator, thank you for reminding me, the elevator work has not begun. We have begun paying for our contract when they gave us renderings and final drawings. We paid the $50,000. The new elevators and the cab themselves, we look at the images, they're fantastic. I would like to be able to do lease sponsorship rights for them. They will be the nicest parts of the new building, will be the elevators.
So two things about that. One, so that it's not alarming, the comments about Dr. Stacey Patterson. As a board member, and particularly as an alternate board member, if we're constrained by Sunshine, then it's very hard for me to have conversations with her. Yes. About anything of substance. And that's not the most efficient way for us to move the needle. Now, that's exactly what was on the forefront of my mind when we were having the conversation about IPTLH.
Ours too.
Okay, good. So we're all okay. So that's not a bad thing at all. It's an excellent thing. We just need to make sure that we get it right. We will. Second thought is rough order of magnitude. The scope of work on the elevators is what's the dollar value?
260, 270, I think is the total. Two elevators.
Okay, two elevators, 260, 270. What is our
260, 270 for both?
Yes.
Yeah, both. Sorry. Yeah. One 260, another 270.
So far. No, it's $270,000 for both elevators.
Okay, yeah. Total.
It's
total.
Under $300,000 total.
Okay. And our gross rents every year.
From one of the
Hold the thought. Go ahead.
The gross rents on the property are about $650,000.
Okay, that is why we have to address the issues that we're describing. Half of our gross rents annually is what will be required in order to fix two elevators
with 60-day out tenants.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not going to beat that any harder. Any other updates, staff updates? Any new business? Hearing none, we are adjourned.